All right, either Julia or Olivia, can we please have a one-word prompt? Julia.
Door.
Door. Okay. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Good luck.
Do you think this movie opened a lot of doors for those actors going forward? Do you think they're all having their doors knocked on for future opportunities?
I think they really backdoored their way into the MCU with this one.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I think it's going to do wonders for their careers.
I don't know about that.
Hold on one second. Hey, welcome to the Over Talking Podcast with your hosts, Ken and CJ. Say hi, CJ.
Hi, CJ.
This is the show where we talk over TV shows and movies as chosen by our guests. And this week we watched the fantastic Madam Web.
Not only did we watch it, we all saw this in theaters.
Yeah, we all paid money to go to a theater to watch this. We were in the hundreds of people who have probably done this. And yeah.
Ken, I think we all have a lot to say about this, and we have two fantastic guests, so I think we should just get into it straight away.
Yeah, please.
So joining us is Olivia Cody.
Hi.
And Julia Sullivan.
Hello.
A double header. Wow.
Truly so glad we were able to kind of, I feel like, force you to do this.
Happy to. Yeah, actually, let's give some context for the listeners as I take out my phone. You two are basically the reason I check Letterboxd. I'm a big fan of your Letterboxd reviews.
Same, actually.
Very kind.
And
you
I
guys.
Saw this ahead of time as well before CJ even told me about it.
Yeah. So I happen to pull up Letterboxd. I see, my friends have checked in the movie Madam Web. That's interesting. I've been only hearing terrible things. Oh, what's this I see? 5 out of 5 stars from both of you.
5-star reviews.
Absolutely. So, and I think it was worth it.
Yeah. Oh, totally. So then sure. I texted you both with a screenshot of that asking, is this a bit? I haven't seen it yet, but it's getting terrible views. And you were basically like, no, we loved it. It was the best experience ever.
Yeah. Okay. So I hate for myself, and I won't speak for Julie because I think Julie has picked wonderful movies upon coming to the podcast. What I think we both will say this up top, and I gave you this disclaimer, CJ.
Yeah.
Is it a good film? No.
Absolutely
not. The best theater experience both of us have ever had in our entire lives? Absolutely. 1,000,000%. I think that this is the new Rocky Horror Picture film. I need this everywhere. It's fantastic in that regard.
Yeah. People who are in middle school right now will be watching midnight showings of Madam Web, like The Room. You know, like yeah, this is what.
That's very possible.
That's what this is.
It'll and, be.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Dakota Johnson showing up to pass around the football people with the people, the viewers.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Liv has seen. Did you watch it again this morning?
Okay, so, well, one, I was going to actually go and pay another $16 to see it yesterday.
No way.
It didn't make it work. So then I did find it somewhere to illegally stream. And then I was like, the sun is out for the first time in truly months. I need to get out of my house. So I watched the first 12 minutes. And that was actually really crucial because I'm sorry to just jump right into it. But at the top of the movie, it says 19 and it gives a date. And both Ryan and I in the movie, we saw with our good friend Ryan Holman, we thought it said 1987. So the whole movie, we're trying to figure out who this mysterious 16-year-old daughter is. Because as you know, it flashes forward to 2003. So we're like, okay, Sydney Sweeney is her long-lost sister. And she was actually the baby that was born in Peru. So we were so focused on that whole plotline. And we gave the movie too much credit to thinking like something clever. So I did watch just to clarify the date, which was actually 1973. So I don't know how we missed the mark on that one.
Well, regardless, everyone on this Zoom call has seen the movie more times than Dakota Johnson has seen it. So we'll take that. That's okay that you didn't watch the whole thing again. And it's so seared in our brains. I don't even know if you'd need
True.
To watch it again.
You don't yeah. need to.
Unforgettable.
No. Absolutely.
Yeah. I also had a blast seeing this with maybe 10 other people in the entire theater.
Oh, yeah.
That's more than in my theater.
Really? Okay, yeah. I did, we did go on like Tuesday, which is when you get the budget tickets. So I did save some money on it, which was nice. Good. But man, yeah, it was very enjoyable. also hearing other people laugh at parts you absolutely are not supposed to laugh at or unintentional.
I was laughing at parts that were definitely not meant to be laughed at, but I was the only one, me and Meg.
Really?
There were a couple other people in the theater, man. And I'm like, am I the asshole here? Like, this is stupid. Like, this come is really on, bad.
Because I feel like at first in our theater, people were a little nervous to laugh. Like, everybody's kind of feeling each other out. And then I think truly after she has her initial accident that gives her her powers, and then she goes, I gotta go watch Idol. That I feel like opened the floodgates, and everybody was like, fuck this. Like, we're gonna have fun. So I wanted to, I think you have to see it. If anybody's out there is gonna be really inspired by this review, make sure there are people there. And Ken, I'm sorry you didn't get that experience.
Yeah,
it's okay. Still gotta enjoy it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, we are for sure going to spoil the hell out of this because we need to talk about every single scene in this entire movie.
So if you're one of the almost every single person who hasn't paid to see this yet, it's okay. We'll spoil it for you so you don't have to. There we go. That's it.
Watch the trailer and then you can just jump back into this episode and you basically have seen the movie.
Yeah, I hope we do it justice. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I also love the Idol. I think most people in my theater laughed at that line. And they just really, really have to remind you that this is 2003 every 10 minutes of the movie. There's the Britney Spears song that is a major plot point in a scene.
Oh, my God.
All the phones they're using.
Okay, I won't say anything.
There's a Blockbuster in the background when they're driving.
Oh, very bright that they drive by in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
The giant Beyonce
billboard.
Mural. Billboard, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's like, we get it. You showed it on the screen. We know what time it is.
What did y'all think about the casting for Uncle Ben?
Adam Scott?
Yeah, Adam Scott.
Probably one of the few people who was a good actor in the movie.
He was a good actor, but like either they knew that this was eventually just going to be a laughing stock, or maybe he wasn't the right person if this is supposed to be like an actual serious Marvel movie. I don't know, but he added to the comedy at least. So that was something.
Yeah. I think people got swayed with like the idea of being in the MCU. Like I think a lot of people kind of fell into this trap, and I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I know that it's just Marvel adjacent, which I don't think was like explained to the actors coming on board for this. And I don't know if I think Dakota Johnson thought she was going to be like Elizabeth Olsen. Like
get her own show.
I think she thought.
Well, I think she actually called Elizabeth Olsen and was like, I'm going to be in Marvel.
Oh, really?
And then, I think there was like some, I don't know. I saw like some press clip where she said that Elizabeth actually never got back to her because of it.
Oh, amazing. That tracks. Absolutely.
Dear God.
Did you guys stay to see if there was a post scene or post credit scene like we did?
We stayed for a tiny bit and then I Googled it and was like, okay, never mind, we can get out of here.
We were like, we will be kicking ourselves.
That's one of the best like fuck yous at the end of that movie.
Absolutely.
Like, no other reason actually.
We're doing you a favor. Trust us. You don't want to stay any longer than you have to.
No, for sure. Oh, so funny.
Yeah, insane. Really breaking the mold on many avenues of this quote-unquote MCU film.
Yeah, no, totally. But I enjoyed Adam Scott.
Did you guys, at the start of the movie, I meant to talk to Julie about this, actually. I feel like they were trying to set it up as if Dakota Johnson and Adam were like secretly in love with each other, and then he starts dating who we are supposed to assume is May.
Yeah.
Did you guys get that, or was that just like me?
Definitely like a flirty vibe or something.
I got that a little bit. Although I don't know, it was either their body language that kind of made it feel that way. But then I was like, it doesn't seem like that's actually what's going on.
What I thought was weirder too is like he brings up like, or she asks or something, where he basically is like, oh yeah, I'm seeing somebody, and then she's kind of like, oh, like who is it? And then he just like looks at her and doesn't say anything. And then it's like, what is this?
Okay, so that's our first bad writing of the movie. Maybe not the first, but
you're supposed to somehow know
that, oh, it's Aunt May. Oh,
yeah. Okay. I'm glad you guys said that, because I hate to out one of my dearest, dearest friends.
I was waiting for it. Come on.
Julie texts us hours after the movie where she goes, wait a second. Did you guys know that that was supposed to be Peter Parker?
Okay, first of all, I'm glad everyone's getting to witness a friendship fall apart live on a podcast. But no, I didn't know anything about the lore of Madam Web, which I would highly recommend.
Okay, wait. I'll jump in right here. I don't think any of us knew about the lore of Madam Web.
Maybe CJ.
No. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
I'm a nerd.
But I thought it was like inspired by Spider-Man. I didn't like put it together that it was like directly related. And then did they ever say the name of the baby? I feel like they did the whole game with the name and then it never came.
Yeah.
And I really was confused. I was like, who gives a fuck about this baby? And I realized that it was
the spider person.
Yeah, I didn't put that together on my own. So that's not me. But
the movie should have done a better job at explaining that. Well, you shouldn't have to piece together Peter Parker's origin story, especially since I'm going to put my nerd glasses on for a second. But in the new iteration of Spider-Man, they don't even do the whole origin story with Uncle Ben and Aunt May. So you wouldn't necessarily even know any of that. So
it's true. There are many hints, though. I think, CJ, even you and your text pointed out, like, the incredible butchering of the "with great power comes great responsibility" line. Yeah. So funny.
Does anyone have that?
Yeah. So goofy.
I don't have it written down, but I this is my one impression of how I thought the writing process went for that was like, okay, so we gotta use the responsibility line. What if it's something like you get the power and then you do good? How's that? Yeah, sure. Print that. That's what we're gonna go with. Not the most quotable thing from the franchise. We're gonna butcher it.
It was like, once you accept the responsibility, you will get the power or something dumb.
That was another big laugh moment for the theater. Everyone was like, what the fuck?
Totally. And let's not pretend that this movie was not written by ChatGPT, because it absolutely was. And this is what the writers were striking for in the summer. So everyone, you're welcome. This is what all movies would be. Actually, you know what? Now that we're into the plot, and not to tell you guys how to run your show, but I feel like Liv should do a quick recap of what the plot of this is.
Please. And then I want to go through a couple of specific moments as well. So, Olivia, do you want to do a quick 30 seconds on the clock?
You want 30 seconds?
30 seconds is, that's really generous. But I'll...
All right. Ready, go.
Okay, so we open up in 1973. The whole summary is basically her mom goes to the Peruvian jungle to research spiders, and then her mom dies. We fast forward to 2003 in a post 9/11 world. We meet Cassandra Webb. She's a New York, this is so important, a New York firefighter, and once again, a post 9/11 world.
10 seconds.
Suddenly has an accident and she starts getting these visions, and then she kidnaps three girls, and then the man is trying to kill the three girls, and she's like, what? And then just dead silence.
And the only hilarity that ensues is when you're not supposed to.
The entire movie, every line.
Yeah.
Every line.
From the get-go, I was missing words that the villain guy, Ezekiel, like says. Like right away, I'm like, wait, I can't understand what he's saying. What is that voice he's doing?
Okay, so we talked about the room earlier, right?
Yes. I just want to preface, he is French and from Algeria. So I don't know. I've not seen any of his other work. So I don't know if that plays into the wild American accent, gruff voice that he tries to take on.
Yeah.
I think he watched like probably old villainous movies and was like, this is how people talk.
It was the most batshit acting choices I've seen in any film coming
so
from him.
So wild. Who's the guy from the room? He sounded a little bit like
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just weird inflection points and just, his tone and bananas the entire time.
CJ would love to hear an impression.
I can't even remember a single line that he says.
If you woke up every night seeing the faces of the people who are trying to kill you, you would try to kill them back.
God, yeah. What is
that? Was better. That was better.
Yeah. That's what. Yeah, leaving this movie, we're like, how is he the best that could do? Like, everyone on set were like, yeah, you nailed that line read. This is exactly what we should be going with.
God, yeah. Should have been let go at some point along the process. Like, a lot of his scenes are separate from everything else. You could have easily replaced him. I don't know. That was not a good choice.
No. They gave him a love triangle, though. Or not even a love triangle, a love plot line where he got to basically seduce an FBI agent and then murder her, which also wasn't the most clear of who she was or what was going on. He, like, randomly went to the opera.
Yeah, the entire time I was like, are we supposed to know who this woman is? like no, I guess not.
And then when he is, like, doing the hand poisoning thing, you can't even really tell what's happening. And she's like, how are you poisoning me?
Yes.
What a weird way to say that.
And it never really comes up again. And he, like, touches Cassie at one point, and, like, her hand starts to feel weird. But she was able to grasp that she had been poisoned as well. It was so weird and never fully explained. And I feel like it should have been brought back once again for a third time. And it never was.
We do, though, speaking of things being brought back, we do get Chekhov CPR in the movie. Yes.
Oh, my God.
We do.
CPR gets brought up. The fact that she just leaves her junk mail in, like, the front of the lobby gets brought back up again. Unnecessary. Yeah.
Also, why did the villain Ezekiel, he's just barefoot the whole time when he's not in his, like, costume?
So he can walk on ceilings? I don't know.
But he can walk on ceilings in the costume. Which
implies he's a billionaire.
I think that's really the root of it. So, like, billionaires are barefoot constantly.
Why is his costume literally Spider-Man? It's literally Spider-Man's costume. I don't understand that.
It had to be Spider-Man's costume because that's the only thing that then gives Cassie any inclination that spider people exist. Because she just randomly sees this man, by the way, and then assumes that she herself is also randomly a spider person for no reason. She has no reason to believe that she can climb on walls or anything, yet she tries.
Yeah. Which, like, that felt like the one trying to be, like, written funny part of the movie that just fell flat in the theater for me.
100%.
I liked it. That was the one, I think that was the one earned laugh for me. I don't know.
Yeah. You're
just falling against the wall slowly.
Yeah.
After all in the front of her cat.
Had to watch. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Love the cat.
Cat was good.
One of the best actors in the movie.
Love the cat. Yeah, I'm trying to look back at our text thread of, like, just there's so many Dakota Johnson lines. Like, first of all, her being in the hospital right away with the kid and being like, what am I supposed to do with this? With, like, the drawing and being like, it's cardboard. Like, the whole thing. She's so, she's insane. what else? Her wearing that outfit to a funeral, also need to point out, an insane choice. These, like, light wash jeans and this, like, burgundy leather jacket. She's like, I'm ready to go to a cop's funeral in Poughkeepsie. What other crazy lines were there, Liv, that we were like, this is the idol one, obviously. There are just so many that it was
I've got some.
Thank you, Ken.
Please, Ken.
Kind of skipping around a bit, but much later in the movie, she has this, like, back in time vision with her mom.
Yes, and I was going to reference this.
Oh, yes.
the best lines, the only ones I, like, fully laughed out loud at. The mom's like, she's talking to a doctor, and the doctor's like, yeah, your baby has some muscular degenerative disease or whatever. She's like, but I don't have that. Okay. And then it goes on to that she's, like, going to go to the rainforest and find the spiders and cure her. And she's just like, you did it!
And with absolutely no motion in her voice, she literally goes, you did it, Mom! I don't have blah, 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 disease. I love you. I'm sorry I spent my whole life hating you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Unreal.
I think that's a prime example of this having been written by ChatGPT. Like, it's so
truly
good.
Truly. And her being, like, another one too I loved was This is not a line reading, but her leaving the hotel room being like, I'll be right back, girls. And then she's in Peru. And it's like, yeah. Okay, what are we, what's okay, happening?
We need to talk about this because once again, this is post 9/11 in New York City. And this woman who's on front pages of newspapers for capturing three teenage girls is somehow able to make it to Peru and back.
Yes.
Yeah. How? In not, what world?
Not only that, but has stolen a New York City cab and then just is able to, with one easy,
driving.
Yeah, just one little boop, pop off the license plate. That's not how that works. There's screws involved. You can get a screwdriver. And then, yeah, so drives a stolen cab to the airport, gets on a flight after kidnapping children, gets back. The cab is still there for her to take home from the airport. And then steals an ambulance at some point as well.
Oh my God.
She literally goes, stealing sorry, everything. Guys.
Yeah.
Takes it.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Those are her coworkers.
Yes. Yeah.
Can we talk about the timeline of some of these travel things for a second? So backing all the way up to when she steals the taxi, she takes the future Spider-Women, who, by the way, no names of like fictional Marvel names are ever referenced at any point during this movie. Super weird. Don't even know who they turn into. We only get to see quick flashbacks anyway, besides the point. She takes them to the woods, leaves them there. They go to the diner probably like a couple hours later. She comes back in the taxi and we'll again talk about the Britney Spears stuff. But in the diner that same day, some dude has a front page newspaper with her face on it saying like, oh, she's stolen this taxi. It was like hours ago. How is that possible? Don't understand.
Happened. Yeah. I also want to call out those girls because when they leave, they decide to leave the forest. They leave a full ass fire on before they go to the diner.
Come on.
Come on. Smokey the Bear existed back then.
Yeah, this is 2003. Yeah. He's in the zeitgeist. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, let's simply talk about the Britney Spears moment
let's
of
do
it
it.
All.
Please.
So that's how we're able to tell that she keeps going kind of like back into the past because with her powers to manipulate is like the song starts over and in the diner, the teenagers are, which, okay, again, truck stop diner. These teenage girls are dancing on the table. That would not fly. This is a no nonsense diner of like truckers. Yeah. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah, and the fact that there also happen to be other age-appropriate boys in there to, one, impress by dancing to Toxic by Britney Spears.
Yeah.
I wish that happened to me when I was 16. Never.
Also, like, was fully, considering how cliche and dumb this movie is, was really waiting for a moment with Sydney Sweeney of them being like, just take your glasses off. You're so Yeah, spoiler alert, Sydney Sweeney clothed the entire film. Sorry, everyone.
And with her, I hate to keep ripping on how bad people acted, and I hate that the two people I've mentioned have been Dakota and Sydney Sweeney, but those two have no emotion at all.
Yeah.
Like, they were so flat, and it was kind of like, I haven't seen anything else with Sydney Sweeney, so I don't know if this is, like, representative, but I saw this, and I was like, oh no, girl. Why can't girls be hot and
Yeah, she does usually play kind of like lower key, I guess, in terms of like her acting choices, but yeah, it's weird in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, she just didn't need to be in thigh-high tights. Like, it just was not necessary. Like, I just don't know.
Her mom is in a cycle in California. It just does weird things to you as a teenager.
Hey, listen, I get it.
Yeah, this was one of... I'm not super familiar with, like, Dakota Johnson's work, but yeah, after seeing this, it's like, how is she, like, a name that everyone knows and, like, is in a lot of stuff.
CJ, come on. You've seen all three 50 Shades of Grey. We know.
Oh. Is that what I need to dive
into?
I
genuinely didn't realize that's who it was. Okay. Got it.
Wait, do you guys know who she is in just the world of film?
I know.
I don't.
She's like a famous fam. Like, all the people in the family are. Yeah.
Yeah. So her grandma was Tippi Hedren from The Birds, which was kind of funny that there was like one part where she's in this like weird amniotic stage in this movie and a bird flies out of her head. And I was like, why. But so yeah, so her grandma was Tippi Hedren, and then her mom was Melanie Griffith, and then her dad is John Johnson. So like long lineage of actors.
But don't bring it up. She hates that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why maybe this is even more surprising.
Very, yeah.
It's very silly.
Terrible.
All right. I got a couple more quotes here.
Please.
Okay. So getting towards the end of the film, they're going to go finally fight Spider Guy is what I'm going to call him.
Right.
And they're going into a fucking fireworks manufacturing warehouse because of course
on the docks.
And earlier in the film, the girls weren't listening to her at all. And they were impulsive. And she specifically said that. And as they're going in, they say to her, "We're going to listen to you this time. We're not going to be impulsive." They like, literally just say it out loud. Again, ChatGPT, exactly right. That's something that would be written.
Yeah.
So stupid.
So stupid.
And then I also wrote down just some of the scenes went on for 15 seconds too long. Like after the scene was over, it would just keep going. The first instance of that I remember was the train scene where she like first meets the girls.
Oh God.
So long. Yeah. Every single time she would see the girl get killed. And then we had to go through the whole fucking thing again for every single other girl.
Yeah.
And each time it was like 2 minutes long. Oh,
the movie is you watching another movie that doesn't exist yet. Like it was nothing, but just like future things. Like we see those girls fighting the exact same scenes no less than 20 times in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not once in this movie do we even have any idea how they turn into spider people.
Yeah.
No. There's no mention of that. And we never, there's no action in the movie. Like nothing happens. It all happens in the future.
Yeah.
All the action is them dodging action.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Completely.
And there isn't even like the emotional payoff of like anything they were like trying to set up of even the girls just being like, "Wow, you're a really good teacher." After they teach them CPR, it's like, "Shut the fuck up." Or like they're in the ambulance and truly maybe three times they're like, "Okay, somebody's showing off."
Yeah. Like, God, yeah, they kept saying
"I'm not showing off." And they're like, "You're showing off now." Maybe a little. Like truly insane. Like their bond, like no chemistry with them.
No.
Bond is not there. And then whenever everyone's ready to talk about the end.
Let's do it now.
Simply can't deal with it. Okay, so again, I had no context for the story of Madame Webb or who she is as a person, but them going from these girls leaning over her body on the dock to just a quick shot right to Dakota Johnson sitting up in a hospital room with this huge mask on her eyes. You were like, no, what is going on? And now all of a sudden she's super motherly and is like, "They're all mine."
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Again, they've known each other, the time lapse of this movie, they've known each other for like a week.
Yes.
And she was in Peru for most of that time.
Exactly. Really.
It's a miracle nobody had good relationships with their parents so that she could take on
right.
caring for these three 16-year-old strays. Strays need to stick together, as she says.
Okay, and the big boss fight scene at the fireworks factory. So all of the teenage girls are kind of about to die in separate parts of the roof of this building with the fireworks going on and collapsing. And that's when it kind of like, she's like, "Oh, I can use my powers to be in more places than once, like that random dude in Peru said I could do." And so kind of like has three ghosts come out of her body and like save the children, which implies that she can be in more places than once and can have like physical bodies and yet doesn't do that to fight the bad guy. If that's the case, then create 30 of you and just like pile onto him and fight
completely.
Him. Like,
really?
What?
I also like that she was like face to face with the bad guy and he was like about to get her. And he's like, "Oh, you can't be in three places at once." And instead of one of her actual person going to help one of the people, she's like, "No, I'm just going to stand right here defenseless and just shoot out my other projections."
Another part I laughed because then, like you said, she's just standing there. So after that happens, he just like gut punches her really hard. Like, you didn't move at all. You're still there.
It was so insane. We also never learned, outside him wanting to kill them because they were eventually going to try and kill him, why they would try to be killing him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what that motive was whatsoever. And that was very frustrating to me.
I had assumed the whole time that it was going to be because he was going after them, that they would eventually grow up to kill him. But that didn't end up being the case, because then Dakota Johnson's like, oh, actually, I was the one who was always going to kill you. Yeah, so why was he even having the visions in the first place? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, basically just saying, like, no, the visions are wrong, or, like, I'm changing the future so that doesn't happen or something. Yeah,
I don't know.
So he's then it's like the future, but still ends up like blind and paralyzed. So it's like, what? We're just not like,
yeah.
Was that not preventable at all? Like, I don't know.
To skip to the, I think the true highlight of the movie is when they end up in her new spider lair, which, by the way, she left her beautiful, massive New York apartment now to end up in this dingy, I'm assuming, rooftop place that just happens to have a circular spider web window.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be panning on her. And you guys, this is on TikTok. I highly encourage people to go and watch this scene. Her rolling away to the window as they're gibbering in the back. It's so fucking funny. And I don't mean that in like a very ableist way. It just is the most insane shot of film you will ever see in your life. It is wild.
Yeah.
Well, also the dumb sunglasses that they gave her to.
Yeah.
It's everything.
It's the whole aura. It's terrible.
And yeah, again, we don't get any, the only glimpse we get into the future when they all have superpowers is like you said, just a repeated shot over and over again that barely really shows you what they're doing. And then it's like all them standing on a rooftop with their, you know, hands at their hips and being like, ta-da. And then, but then Madame Web is can stand now, is fine. Still has like weird sunglasses.
It's her projection.
It's
very unclear.
Way to end.
We simply will just have to watch the second Madame Web.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Because
obviously, after the performance of this one.
I hope this becomes like the Fast and Furious. They make 11 of these. And I will just go and see every single one.
Would 100%. Kill for that.
Everyone says that they're on board to make a sequel, but, you know, I just don't.
I'm
I don't
shocked
know if that
by
makes
that.
Financial sense.
Yeah.
Given Dakota Johnson's press tour, which I've only seen a little bit of, she seems so unbothered and over the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that she would. Maybe she would. She's unpredictable to me. So
yeah.
Listen, we all need money. Coldplay money is only going to get you so far.
No, it's running out.
I just remember this, and I'd kill myself if I didn't talk about this. But I don't know if this will hit for CJ and Ken. But when Ezekiel hires that tech person and ends up being Shoshana from Girls, erupted with laughter. It was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
They left her character just like, they didn't wrap. She's just sitting in that room. I'm still assuming just looking at those.
No clue who she is, what the relationship how she knows how to do any of this.
At one point he goes, you better find these girls. I pay your expensive salary.
Yeah. Yeah, not some villainous line of like, if I can't kill them, I'm gonna kill you. If you can't like fight, just like, I pay you a lot of money. Yes.
And once again, like, imagining that this technology is available in 2003 is very funny.
Right.
Like, the idea that knowing what we know, and they can, just any camera ever can detect a face of a young girl.
Yeah. That was the thing, too. When the villain guy is doing his rant in bed and was like, I need to get these images out of my head. You'd be surprised about, like, technology that can do this. It's like, these are dreams of yours, and you have somehow taken it out of your brain into picture perfect images. Right.
When the girl from Girls pulls that up on the screen, she's like, this is what you described to me. And it's literal photographs.
Realistic. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh, speaking of photographs, every time Dakota Johnson pulls out a photo of her mom, it's a screenshot from the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, amazing.
Like, always who's even holding the camera in some of these photos? It's so weird.
Yeah, it's like the image of what the viewer of the spider web and then behind it is like, who's taking that picture then? She's holding the camera in the picture.
Right.
Her going through her mom's journal at one point, and she's like, genus, and like all these other science words, and then she just goes, spider people. That's what I'm looking for. So good.
Yeah, we've all heard that term before, and that's a real thing.
Do you think that was like them trying to be politically correct and move away from Spider-Man to spider people?
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Probably.
Sure.
It's 2003, after all. Get with the program.
Spider people's a spectrum. You know?
It is.
There's also a picture on Twitter of one of like the early ambulance scenes where like the boom mic is clearly visible. Funny. Like, at some point they must have just been like, whatever. Put it out. Put it out. So many strange moments.
Yeah.
So many. It is. It's truly just the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
But if all of us listening right now go and see it for a second, the first time, a second time, a third time, we can fund a second movie. And I really believe that.
It's not too late. It's still in theaters.
Not too late.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. I need to change my Letterboxd score and give it 5 out of 5 so that we can, everyone thinks this is a great movie.
Success.
The web of influence.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, do you guys want to maybe learn a little bit more about Madam Web?
I would love to.
Because it's time for... Hey, did you know that? It's the trivia portion of our show where we pit our guests and CJ head-to-head to see who knows the most about what we watched. Olivia, Julia, CJ, are you all three ready?
Ready.
Yeah, can't wait.
Okay, I divvied this up into multiple sections. So we're going to start out with the comic book portion. So all of these questions are related to the comic book section. I know Julia's already... ready to go. So,
yeah.
All right. In the comics, Madam Web is a Homo sapien. True or false?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a true? Human?
Human?
Yes.
I guess no, then, Ken.
Did everyone say yes? Like, actually?
Yeah. We're all saying yes.
Right. Okay. No, you're wrong. Oh. She's a mutant, which is technically Homo superior.
Oh. She's a mutant?
She's a mutant, apparently. Huh. Doesn't jive with the backstory we got in the movie, but
okay,
yeah,
cool,
yeah.
Fun fact. I'm not a Homo sapien.
Yeah.
All right, and another just in the comics. Which of the following is a power that Madam Web does not have in the comics? Ooh. Is it A, she can shrink down to a spider's form? B, she can transfer her mutation to another person? C, she can read minds, or D, she can perform psychic surgery.
Oh my God, these are all bananas.
I purposely chose the ones that did not appear in the movie. So, good
yeah.
luck. Just one of them is not one she can do.
One of them is not one she can do. I'm going to say the shrinking one.
Okay.
That's my guess as well.
Okay, CJ?
That was my first thing. I'll say the transferring her power to other people.
The first one is the correct answer. She cannot shrink down to a spider's form. She can transfer her mutation, and she has in the comics. When she died, she transferred all her powers and, for some reason, also her blindness to Spider-Woman.
Whoa. Massive spoiler, by the way, that she dies.
Spoiler alert for Marvel, almost everyone dies and comes back somehow.
In the comics.
Her and Ant-Man start dating.
Ooh.
The real question is, how do we get ChatGPT to include psychic surgery in
the next movie?
Because gotta see that. Gotta see that.
Do you have to have your PhD to perform that? Or
that's so specific.
She's a paramedic, Ken.
You're right. It's perfect.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Okay.
Yeah, that's the same, right?
Yeah. We all know those skills are exactly the same.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I learned from Madam Web. They can do anything.
You can save anybody with CPR.
Yeah. All right, we're out of the comic book portion into the actual movie questions. Here we go. Okay, actually, before I get to the questions, I just had a fun fact that I couldn't work into a question, but
Please.
The original script for this would have seen Madame Web and the Spider Women trying to protect a pregnant Mary Parker from a time-traveling Ezekiel Sims who wanted to kill her to prevent the birth of Peter Parker, which would have been so much cooler, I feel like. It was supposed to be like Terminator. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
That would have made so much more sense.
Yeah. Would we have then actually gotten to see like their powers in action as they try to like fight him off?
I certainly hope so. Dakota Johnson said that that was the script that she was hired on for, and that it went through so many rewrites since then that it's not even recognizable.
Wow. Okay, Dakota, we'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bummer.
All right. Next question. Madame Web grossed just $15.3 million domestically in its opening weekend, making it the sixth worst opening for any Marvel movie ever. Name the top five or bottom five. And good luck. And we won't spend too much time on this, but if you can name what you think the worst grossing Marvel movies ever are, just throw some out.
How, this one's the sixth one? There's worse ones than this?
There are five worse.
This is why I'm so confused as to, I know this is an association with Marvel, but I don't understand this universe. Because that's what I thought the whole thing was, is that this isn't technically a Marvel movie.
It is a Marvel movie, but it's not part of the MCU.
Insane to me. Okay, Morbius. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's no, surprisingly not. That's not one of them.
What?
What about one of the Ant-Man sequels?
Yeah, the newest one, the Quantum.
No.
No?
Fun fact about Morbius, though, apparently at time of recording, Madame Web, for the entire time it's been in theaters, has still not made as much money as Morbius's opening weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
We got to change that.
It's international. It's Women's History Month. Get to the theater.
The third Guardians of the Galaxy.
No.
Are they older? Can you tell us?
Okay, one's from the 80s, and the rest are from the 2000s.
The 80s?
Hmm. One's from 2020.
Well, do you think that's pandemic, or do you think that's global warming? Okay,
yeah, that's fair.
Green Lantern, is that one, or is that DC?
Oh, DC. CJ.
Sorry,
no.
CJ. Sorry.
From the 80s, I think there was a Fantastic Four movie, maybe?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get there. All right, well, this was fine. I'll just tell you. Coming in at number five with the $14 million was The Punisher from 2004.
Oh.
With $12.8 million was Elektra, 2005.
Yeah,
I don't know what that one was. The 2020 one was The New Mutants.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Not sure.
From 1986 was Howard the Duck.
Oh, yeah. Forget that's a Marvel. Yeah.
Incredible.
$5.1 million. And then the worst opening weekend for Marvel was the Punisher sequel, Punisher: Warzone, which I don't even know. I'm surprised that even came out in theaters. I'm surprised it wasn't just direct to video, but
yeah.
Punisher Luke Cage, is that who's the Punisher?
It's a different character.
Yeah, it's a different character, but they're in the same sort of like world dish.
Yeah.
The
wild.
Did I even know the second there was a second Punisher movie?
I think they recast the Punisher in that one as well.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Yeah. All right, this is the final main question. With a 13% approval on Rotten Tomatoes as of 2024, this is the worst reviewed Marvel movie since what 2015 movie? And I'll just give you a hint, one of you has already said it in the last question.
This is the hardest trivia I've ever done in my life.
Sorry. CJ's like the only one who's maybe even got a chance.
I have no recollection of like when any of these came out though. I've seen all of them, but I have no clue.
Do you remember who said it?
CJ said it, but I think he might have been referring to a different incarnation of it. But
Fantastic Four?
Yes, Fantastic Four, the 2015 one.
Yeah, those.
And they're remaking that again, aren't they?
Yeah,
insane.
For the third time.
Unreal.
Yeah.
But yeah, so where are we at in point C?
Well, at the top with 1 point is Olivia and Julia.
Okay, so we need a tiebreaker. So CJ, you're just going to sit this one out, I think. Whoever gets closest to the correct answer will win overall. What is the letterbox score for Madam Web out of 5? And it goes to 1 decimal place. Just closest wins.
Ew.
I'm going to say 1 point. Well, if it closest went 1.3, I'll say.
Olivia is our winner. Congratulations.
Well deserved. Thank you.
It's 1.6.
Wow.
So still spectacularly low.
We got it. Yeah. Once again, we got to fix that, you guys. Listeners.
Yeah.
You can change your phone.
Yeah, I'm going to change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for those curious, IMDb gave it 3.7 out of 10, and the Rotten Tomatoes audience score is actually 57%, which is pretty decent.
I'm shocked by that.
That's got to be people being correct. Like, this was really bad but fun, so I'm giving it a score.
Really? It has to be.
Truly. I'm telling you right now, give us 8 years, we'll be in that theater at midnight.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So true. Yeah.
Well, I think it's time for our ratings then.
For the listeners, everyone's bobbing their head along to the song. Love to see it.
We'll start with Julia. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate Madam Web for you?
Madam Web gets 8.5 out of 10 for me. One of my favorite movie theater going experiences. Shout out to everyone that was in the theater with us who laughed along and like kind of acknowledged each other on the way out. Right. I had a lot of fun. Absolutely a nightmare of a script, and the acting was truly horrible, but I had a lot of fun. Would absolutely watch again.
Nice. Love it.
Nice. Olivia.
Yeah, I'm going to go 8.5 as well, which
okay.
I got a match. Mainly, I don't know why. Do spiders have 8 legs or is that just octopus?
8, yeah, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
The most spidery number there is then. For all the same reasons that Julia listed, I cannot recommend this enough. It's so campy. If you don't like it, you have to live in the fun. Sorry. Yeah. It's on you. Have fun.
Exactly.
Well, I'll follow up that then.
canceled.
Look, I had fun, and I hearted it on Letterboxd, but it's going to be a 1 out of 10 for me. It is, it is real bad.
That's fair.
It's such a bad movie. But
the score
it's very
we give
funny.
For barely making a movie. That's the score. You gave it credit in that it is a movie.
It is a movie.
Maybe I should give it a 2.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit better than just having made a movie. So.
And as Julia mentioned, it is International Women's Month. So come on.
There we go.
Yeah. A 2 out of 10. Okay. Yeah. Man. For me. Yeah. I had a blast. So glad I convinced some friends to go with me and the other people in the theater were also having a good time. Although there was a part where somebody was snoring at one point and then they woke up, but love that. There was I forget what part it was, but there was one part where a man like full belly laughed as loud as he could at a part you were not supposed to laugh at, which made all of us laugh even harder.
That's great.
Yeah. It was incredible. I absolutely would watch this again. I can't wait to see this in like a crowded theater of people that are all laughing along with it.
Yeah.
I think that would be the most fun. That being said, this movie is absolutely abysmal. So I'm giving it a 3 out of 10. This movie sucks so hard.
Yeah.
So fair.
I'm trying to think what we'll be throwing at the movie screen.
Yeah.
Because we
can't
even do Silly String because they didn't even have web powers in this spider movie. Right.
There's like nothing to go off of.
How about full cans of Pepsi, which Dakota Johnson is pulling at random times for no reason?
Oh, major so sponsored by Pepsi.
Yeah.
It was on billboards. No, it was the big sign at the end that they were climbing on. It was a Pepsi Cola sign.
Oh, yeah. Why? What's the relation?
Yeah.
Anyway, so many questions. But very fun.
Well, thank you guys for having us on, and thank you for bearing witness.
Thanks for watching it. It was
thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for saying how much fun you had to convince us to go, because it was a blast.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Either do you have anything you want to plug at the end here?
No.
call your representatives and demand a ceasefire. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely do that.
Yes.
That's it. Oh, and my Twitter. I'm not on Twitter, but could you imagine that's how I follow it up?
How about your letterboxes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My letterbox is just Olivia Cody, C-O-A-D-Y.
I have to look mine up because I... Bad branding. I have no consistency at all. My letterbox is Julia Sull, S-U-L-L. Absolutely a bad name. I should change that. But anyways.
And Ken's, yours is Peaches, 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 if I recall correctly.
No, I chickened out. I didn't change it. Mine's still K-D-R-I-S-C-0-1. And because I still haven't given my last name on here, that makes no sense to anyone listening. So... Absolutely. Wait,
before we go, now that I'm on Letterboxd, can we talk really quickly about Mike Flanagan's Letterboxd review? Do you know who Mike Flanagan is?
No.
Yeah. I saw you liked it and I read it, but remind
he
us.
He did the Haunting of Hill House. Isn't that him that did all the shows? Yep. He just wrote out the Nicole Kidman AMC speech. as his review, which I think is really funny.
Movies are back, baby.
Movies are back. And then all of the tags on it that are like, why is she blind? Cat. Facial recognition, murder visions, fireworks, because. Yeah, just had a lot of fun with this movie, you guys.
So much fun.
That's great. I will follow that hit guy now. You can follow me on Letterboxd at CJW, the word double, the word you.
What do we got to plug here, Siege?
Yeah, speaking of following stuff, go give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok and all the things at OvertalkingPod, OvertalkingPOD. We post little videos of episodes. So you can see us laughing at each other and ripping this movie to shreds. you can email us at overtalkingpod@gmail.com. Go to our website, overtalkingpod.party, where you can type in the word Olivia or the word Julia and find all of their hilarious previous episodes.
Absolutely. And oh no, they're here. The Overtalking Overlords have arrived. They're not even shooting webs into the studio. They're just walking in.
Barefoot.
And barefoot. Dressed as basically Spider-Man. And they're here to remind me to remind you, if you like the show, please go on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and rate and review where applicable. Reviews would help people find this podcast. Also, we spend any money in advertising. So if you like the show, please tell a friend and spread the word. We'd really appreciate it. Thank you. And they're gone.
And as we say at the end of every single episode,
gotta go watch Idol.
Bye. This episode of Overtalking was produced by Ken and CJ, that's me, and edited by CJ, that's still me. Our very special guests were Olivia Cody and Julia Sullivan. Go give them a follow on Letterboxd. It's basically the reason I checked the app. The music you have heard in this episode was done by the talented and attractive Justin Peters. Tune in next week as we celebrate 350 episodes. That's too many episodes. Okay, love you, bye!